hear some of your announcements. Fishing on my birthday. I want to come back August the 14th. I will hit that major milestone in my life, 49, not 50. And I would love to go fishing on my birthday. But also, I would like to volunteer after services to go to the neonatal care and teach young Connor how to eat for 48 hours. As y'all can see, I know how already, and would love to help with that. It's great to be here. I know that all of you have expressed already that you're going to miss Kirk Brothers and his family. I know that he came here with y'all's full knowledge that he wanted to someday teach in a Christian school. Especially, I hoped all along, Fried Hardeman, and that the Lord has blessed him and made that a possibility. We're excited. Those of us who have children at Fried Hardeman, those of us who love Fried Hardeman, we're excited about that. We love Kirk Brothers, and when I grow up, I want to be a preacher like him. But he is a dear friend. Our topic tonight is one of much importance. Without this part of the Christian concept, none of us have a chance. The topic tonight is forgiveness. And I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 21. And as we read from verse 21 to the end of the chapter, and then just venture in a little bit into chapter 5, I want you to notice all of the things that God, through His servant, Paul, asks and commands and requests of His people. Verse 21 beginning, Ephesians chapter 4. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let's stop right there for now. You got that list? That is a list, isn't it? And I dare say that if we one by one listed each of those things for ourselves, we would all at least somewhere, maybe not on the whole list, but it's very likely that all of us somewhere will find ourselves lacking something. What do you need when you lack something that God has called you to be? What do you need when you have failed at becoming something God wants you to be? What do you need when you've, what's the term? Missed the mark. You need forgiveness. Don't you? Is it what God wants of you or not? Is this list just kind of an idea of how we're supposed to live? Come close if you can. Or are these things Paul really is writing to the church at Ephesus, that God's children at Ephesus, this is what you need to be like? And then the last verse of our chapter says there, Mark, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you? I am not going to ask for a show of hands, but have you ever, have you ever heard anybody talk like this? Not have you done it, but have you ever heard anybody talk like this? I know this may sound hard, but what comes after that three-letter word, that tiny little word? I know this may sound hard. Usually that's when we're going to say something about somebody. Oftentimes our brethren, our family of God, and we're going to say something like, you know, things might be easier on them if. Or if they would be more stern with their children might not run them ragged. Or things like that, right? Let's read that verse again. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus has done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. None of us here has the power to make ourselves right in the eyes of God except through the blood of Jesus. None of us here has the power to have our sins washed away except for the blood of Jesus. None of us can stand before God with the slightest hope of entering to heaven except for the blood of Jesus. I need forgiveness. Don't you? I need it today. Lord willing, I get a safe journey home. I get to be with my family tonight. And Lord willing, I wake up tomorrow. Sometime tomorrow. Probably sooner than most of you. But sometime tomorrow, I'm going to need forgiveness again. It's likely. Well, Van, you just must be a terrible person. Don't want to be. Not trying to be. I want to live like God wants me to live. But do you remember the words of the Apostle Paul? Those things that I ought not do, I do. And those things that I ought to do, I leave off. Paul said that he had to buffet his body at least once a month to stay. Y'all know your Bibles better than that, right? Right? Apostle. Handpicked by Jesus, just like the others. Paul said, and by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, I buffet my body. We're going to treat this like a class for just a few seconds and not a sermon. Can you answer? Can you fill in the blank? How often did Paul buffet his body? Daily. Daily. Why? Because Paul needed forgiveness. Now, what I'd like for us to do for the next few moments. Now, if I go to where I'm supposed to go, tell me my time's over. Okay? Yeah, something like that. If I'm done before... Oh, now I'm... it'd be all right. If I'm done before that, we'll probably have a prayer and I'll be done. Is that good? Okay. I want us to look tonight very quickly at forgiveness in four different ways. Four different ways. First of all, forgiveness as God grants it is like no kind of forgiveness we can really explain. Although that's what I'm here for as a gospel preacher. I want you to know that my daddy, Jim Van Zandt, was a gospel preacher. My daddy has traveled to Russia, to South Africa, to Jamaica, all over the world carrying the gospel. He was a located preacher, as we used to say, and worked 40 to 50 hours a week while he was doing that in near Wetumpka, Alabama, in Elmore, just off of Highway 65, near Prattville, Alabama, for several years. He was the missionary in residence in Decatur, Alabama, at the Grant Street Church. Truly, I love Kirk Brothers, and he, in my mind, is a wonderful preacher. But really, really, when I grow up, I want to be like my gospel preaching daddy. That's who I want to be like. And my brother James, named after my daddy, is a gospel preacher in Corinth, Mississippi for the West Corinth Church. And my son, Van Henry, is a gospel preacher. Now you know that there are at least four of us. My daddy has passed on and gone to his reward. I am the least of the preachers remaining. I would love to be able to preach like my son. He's 23. And I just am thrilled with him. I'm not near as smart as my brother James. Now you wouldn't know that if you knew my brother James, because he doesn't want you to know that. But the brother can pull out the Greek Testament and read it. I cannot do that. I just really don't want to try to learn how to do that. But I can't! And he's smart. But for all of us, for my father, for my brother James, for my son Van Henry, and for myself, we each need the forgiveness the way God grants it. I don't know, it would be hard to understand that because who your last two preachers have been, and as well as the other workers with this congregation. I've known of Wendell for a long, long time, and I know who Brother John Vaughn is, and I know who Kirk Brothers is, and you know, they probably don't need near as much forgiveness as I do, but I haven't met a preacher yet that's perfect. Have you? Except maybe John Vaughn. Any brother that can preach for a congregation for 40 plus years has to be close, doesn't he? Has to be close, but not quite. Because he would tell you he needs forgiveness as well. The essence of the forgiveness that is granted from God is based upon His mercy, His compassion, His love, His willingness to send His only Son. Has nothing to do with how good we are. It has nothing to do with what potential we show. And in fact, it has nothing to do with what we may offer Him in return. The forgiveness as God grants it is by grace. So in the same epistle, by the same writer, Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Secondly, I want us to talk about forgiveness as we struggle with it. That doesn't sound right, does it? Forgiveness as we struggle with it. There are two phases, at least two, that we struggle concerning forgiveness. Number one, accepting it. What? Yes, accepting it. In a recent gospel sermon, I told the congregation that I wanted just a little silent participation. I know it was unusual, and some kind of furrowed their brows a little bit. But what I did is I asked everybody who had ever asked for forgiveness to stand. And I think everybody who had ever done that stood. And then I asked everybody who still struggled with their sins after they asked forgiveness. In other words, they still carried around the memory. They still carried around the guilt. They still carried around the responsibility. Not everybody could sit. You see, we struggle with forgiveness. We struggle with what God offers us. How many of you do Facebook? 37. That's a quick preacher's account, wasn't it? I never thought I'd do Facebook. I don't like computers. We don't get along. Kind of like a cell phone. We just don't get along. You see, I can't even go fishing anymore without somebody being able to call me because of cell phones. But I have learned to use Facebook, and I'm trying to use it for the honor of the Lord and to the work of the church. So I can contact 100 people in just a short amount of time, or I can send a message out and all of my 12 friends can get it at one time. And so I like that. But now, you know, we struggle. We struggle. On Facebook, you can send a message on that computer and it can go to somebody, just to somebody. And not everybody has to see it. And oftentimes that is the way we really wish our forgiveness would work, the forgiveness that we've received. We really wish that it would just be between us and God. And nobody else ever has to know what we've had to tell God, what we've shared with God. But now I'm here to tell you, God, through the church, offers us something that nothing else offers. The workplace doesn't offer it. Our schools don't offer it. God, through the Lord's church, offers us a family like none other. And when God says, I'm going to forgive you, we need to accept that forgiveness fully. The Apostle Paul would tell us, if we do something that is not in faith, it is, can you fill in the blank again? If it is not in faith, it is what? It is sin. Some people ask God for forgiveness and then will not forgive themselves. That's one way we struggle with forgiveness. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. What does that mean? Y'all notice I use King James. I started using King James when I was a boy. I started preaching in 1974. I was 13 years old. I was preaching every Sunday when I was a senior in high school. My son Van Hering was blessed to be able to do that at the Yale congregation in Marshall County, Tennessee. And I've just always used the King James, still use it now. And so sometimes we don't always read it, don't always see it anymore, and sometimes we wonder, what does that... It is impossible, but, or except, that offenses will come. What does that mean? It is impossible to never have an offense. That's what it means. Jesus goes on to say, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he was cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times daily, in a day, that's what it says. And seven times in a day turn again to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt read his mind and determine if you should forgive him. No, that's not what it says. But isn't that what we do sometimes? Think in your own mind how many times somebody has said they were sorry to you and your first thought, I mean before you could even build the wall, before you could even put on the brakes, your very first thought was, oh, you don't mean that. And sometimes it comes out of the mouth that way. Oh, you don't mean that, which means we're not going to forgive you. Oh, you've said you're sorry. You're trying to repent, but we're not going to forgive you. We struggle with forgiveness at least in two ways. One, when somebody forgives us, we struggle forgiving ourselves. Two, we struggle forgiving others because we're just sure whether or not they really mean it. We're just sure that we know what they intend to do next. I know some folks, they've come into my office and say, Van, I need to talk to you about something. Preachers get to hear way too much stuff, a lot more stuff than they ever want to hear. But they come in, I need to talk to you about something. They talk to me for a while and they tell me this thing's going on and they're struggling with it. And they will say, I want to forgive them. But I know as soon as I forgive them, they're going to do it again. And so I don't want to forgive them. I want to forgive them, but I don't want to forgive them. Listen to the words of Jesus. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, what? forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee and say, I repent. Do what? Forgive him. After hearing some of Jesus' teachings, Peter asks the question, Lord, you know, really, how many times do we forgive? 7 times? Jesus said, 7 times 70. Basic math, I'm pretty good at. It's when they put letters in there, you know, that I really struggle. 7 times 70. Any math teachers in here? Any math teachers? Raise your hand high. Don't be ashamed. What kind of no math teachers in all this gathering? Is that 490? Yes. So when I sin that 491st time, you don't have to forgive me. No, that is not what he's teaching. He's teaching if someone sins and someone repents, forgive. But we struggle with that. Number 3. Let's talk about then, because it's a struggle, let's talk about forgiveness as we should offer it. Not maybe as we have in the past, but as we should offer it. Two things that approach this concept in the opposite way. Mark chapter 11 and verse 26 teaches that if you do not forgive, forgiveness will not be yours to be had. If you do not forgive, forgiveness will not be yours to have. Now again, how many of us need forgiveness? The answer is all. Every one of us, each one of us. How many of us need forgiveness this week? The answer again, I'm pretty sure, would be all of us. For something. Jesus says, if you do not forgive, forgiveness will not be yours to be had. And notice now, forgiveness is not just something to be had. It is something to be enjoyed. It is something to be cherished. And we'll get to that in a minute. But the other passage for this portion is Luke chapter 6. And verse 37 that teaches, forgive and you shall be forgiven. And so how powerful are the words that we read in Luke 23 and verse 34. It's in red for those of you that have that red letter edition. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. The book of Romans tells us that Jesus' concept of forgiveness was just like that of the Father. The Father forgave us while we were what? Yet sinners. While we were yet sinners. That means still existing in our sin. Christ died for the ungodly. Romans teaches that scarcely for a good man some would even dare to die. It's easy for us to talk about things that have not been laid at our doorstep. And so I'm going to take a moment and do that. I really do believe that with all of my heart, if that is what it would take, I would die for my Ambo. Ambo is our daughter. She's 19 years old. Her mother has thought she was dying for her 2 or 3 times as she entered that surgery ward and had some doctor who we never knew until we met him the first time fix the ACL in that right knee for the first time. And then for the second time and now for the third. I really do with all my heart believe that if that was what it needed, I would die for my daughter. I believe that I would, if that's what it needed, I would die for my son, Van Henry. And I know that if that's the only way, whatever could happen, I would die for my wife, Miss Marianne. I know that. It's easy for us to talk about things that don't camp themselves on our front doorstep, but folks, how we ought to forgive others camps itself on our doorsteps every day. It camps in our families and in our homes. Parents to children, children to parents, siblings to one another, husbands to wives, and wives to husbands. I had a lady tell me one time that she believed with all of her heart there are things worse than death. And you know that if you're a faithful child of God, you've got to know there are things worse than death. This lady and her husband had been married to her half of forever. And all of a sudden, seemingly to her out of the blue, he comes in. They've raised their three daughters. The youngest one is now 19. He comes in and says, "Don't love you anymore. Not going to stay with you anymore. I am gone." I know some other folks who the husband came home one day and informed his wife that he, for a short while, had been having an affair. She packed up the children and she said, "I'm going to my mother's. I will talk to you in a little while." They talked. This man had been a member of the Lord's church almost all of his life, at least since an early teen. And he had worked with the Lord's church for a long, long time. And so he went one congregation at a time that knew him and knew his wife and knew his family and knew his wife's family. He went one congregation at a time and sat on that front pew and talked with the preacher or an elder at every one of those congregations that knew him and told them what he was trying to change. And in a few months, his wife called him home. And 12 years later, they are still husband and wife. They've raised their children. This man, by the grace of God, by the forgiveness as God grants it, by the grace of his wife, by forgiveness as she has granted it, and by the grace and mercy of the Lord's church, this man is able to preach the gospel again. Some of you might be thinking right now, "Don't know if I could. Don't know if I could." Do you remember the man that came to Jesus and said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him that he needed to be obedient to the law and the prophets and named a few of the commands. And he said, "These I've kept from my youth up." Remember the words of Jesus? "This, how many things? Do you remember? This one thing you lack. Sell what you have and give to the poor." Can you imagine any worse day? Any worse day ever than the day of judgment when we all stand before God and God says to Van Zandt, "Senior, you sure were loud when you preached. You sure laughed a lot and smiled, and a lot of folks laughed and smiled with you. You loved those people, and at least 12 of them loved you. But you did not forgive whomever of that one sin. If you do not forgive, forgiveness will not be known by you."
Can you think of a more terrible day? A more terrible moment than to know because you wouldn't let go of your own standard of righteousness and forgive? If they're going to come and do it again, let God take care of that. If they come and do it 100 times again, let God take care of that. Don't let that stand between you and the words that say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Lastly tonight, very quickly, forgiveness as we should enjoy it. You see, it's my contention. You tell me if I'm wrong now, that'll be okay. I'm told that I'm wrong about every Sunday when I preach. You tell me if I'm wrong, it'll be okay. But it is my contention that when God says He will forgive, if we do not accept His forgiveness, we are saying to Him, we think Him to be a liar. You see, because God says that He is faithful and just to forgive if we will but repent. 1 John 1 and verse 9. You see, it all hinges on whether or not we really believe what we say we believe. One of the greatest inventions of man has helped me better understand forgiveness. Notice I said one of the greatest inventions of man. The Word of God tells me all about it. The Word of God has all the answers about it. But let me tell you what helps me. Every morning, whether I want to or not, I get up and at some point, I look in the mirror and I realize how much I need forgiveness. Thanks be to God for the forgiveness that God grants to each of us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's bow together. Loving Father, we thank You for the Bible. For we know it is Your Word and it is Your will for us. Dear Father, help us to search through Your Word, to study, to dig deep, to apply, and to love the very words on every page. We thank You, Father, for Your forgiveness, for the forgiveness that comes through Your Son, Jesus, for the cleaning of our souls that You allow by the shedding of His blood. And Father, for making it possible that we might forgive others. Father, help us to have faith in Your Word. And help us to know that if we will repent, You will forgive. And Father, help us to forgive others because and like You have forgiven us. Father, we thank You for this congregation. We thank You for her leadership. We thank You for the faithfulness of the folks who have met here through all of the years. And we pray that all of those things might be continuing and might continue to shine brightly and give honor and glory to Your name. Bless us as we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.